This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Near what you needed to win games. No one else was stepping. Was real quick with Moses Moody, because I get it, and Moses has been amazing. He's been incredible. He was never going to be your second leading scorer.
No,
like, and that's what I feel like we're talking about him. Like, he was going to be this. Oh, Kuminga got hurt. Oh, let's bring him in. I was like, okay, yes, he's not going to be that guy every single night. The consistency's been there and it's been really refreshing. It's been awesome to see, but I do think the fans really want to have an "I told you so" with Steve Kerr right now when it comes to Moses Moody. But I don't know if we get this version of Moses Moody without Jimmy Butler. So it's all baked into the equation, right? Yeah, and Moses, we have to give him credit for the player he is and what he's done, and I am doing that.
But we watched him early this year, and he didn't look like what he's looked like this month.
And again, the counter would then be, oh, well, you didn't play him enough. You didn't give the consistent minutes enough. But that was because we were all so happy about the depth. Oh, yes. My God, all these lineups.
They had too many players.
Way too many.
They had way too many.
And it was great that they actually, this team has kind of forced themselves and forced Steve Kerr's hand, where they had to isolate the players and the minute allocation, and it's finally done that, and it's been great to see, and we can give Steve Kerr credit. We can give Moses Moody credit. We can give everyone credit here. It doesn't have to be this person or the other. I just don't know why it's so hard to give the head coach some, like, just give him his love. Because, again, I actually do know why. It's
why?
Because we have preconceived notions as fans that this isn't my guy. Whatever he does, I'm not going to give him credit for it because I want to be right. I want to be right. That's what it is.
I still don't understand. Like, again, the Steve Kerr, he frustrates me at times. But I think when I peel back and I step back, like the last couple of years, the roster wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And you're asking this man to make chicken salad
out of tuna. I can go for some tuna right now. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. An Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And we're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed here in San Francisco. Go check out Laughing Monk, Sunnyvale, San Francisco. It's St. Patty's Day, all right? Go get some brewskis and go, you know, enjoy some good food. Because that's what I do at Laughing Monk. Jim Barnett, 20 minutes, Jim Barnett, 20 minutes.
Do we think that, like, Steve Kerr, who has coached USA teams?
Gold medalist, Steve Kerr, by the way, coaching Eagles.
He watches every day at practice. And I'm not saying, like, a minute here, you're a little late on your rotations, a minute there, you know, different inbound plays. Like, no one's saying he's perfect, but, like, he watches everything. You think he's like, huh, I'm going to suppress Moses Moody. No, that's literally what Don Nelson would do.
Yes.
Don Nelson would be like, oh, you guys all think Anthony Randolph's good? I think he sucks, and I'm never going to play him. And not even not that Anthony Randolph was something special, but, like, coaches play who they think is going to help them win.
Yes.
Now, we could disagree on assessment and how they play him and where they utilize him until we're blue in the face. But I just don't think that he was suppressing Moses Moody.
I think he was
trying to find a role and trying to find the combinations that fit alongside of him. And I think it was tough.
And he was waiting, and he said this. He's been on record at the station where Steve Kerr joins us every week on Willard and Dibbs. It's a great interview, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And he said it for the last couple of years, like, hey, I'm waiting for Moses to take this role and run with it.
He did, and he's done that. And he deserves credit for grabbing the bull by the horns and seizing the opportunity.
Absolutely.
And Kerr deserves credit for sticking with him.
Kevin says, is in Lake Merritt. I wonder if he's on a boat or not,
what's
one
up,
of those
Kev?
Paddle boats. What's up, Kev? What you got on Steve Kerr?
Turn your radio down.
Are you on Lake Merritt right now, Kevin? He's lost. He's gone. He's swimming right now. He's gone. That was it. Like that, he's gone.
Sleeping with the fishes.
Sleeping. I don't know.
Was he on the White Lotus?
Don't spoil it. I haven't seen this last episode. Don't spoil it for me, okay? I'm gonna watch it tonight. All right. Are they partying? Are all the white moms partying?
Things are certainly happening. Let's just
things
go
are percolating.
There is a percolation sensation for sure.
All right. Yeah. The Russian masseuse.
One thing that kind of does bug me is that I think that we, at times, I feel like we take some of the players off the hook when it comes to having onus and responsibility on their own careers. And
it's easier to put it on the head coach. It always is.
Like they're the ones shackling the players at every single turn.
We see it right now, Joe Shasky. I'm not to cut you off.
Yeah.
Literally the Trey Lance thing.
Yes.
People will not let Kyle Shanahan off the hook.
And Trey's
at
not
all.
Good.
They're never going to because they think he ruined Trey Lance.
Well, they made the wrong pick.
They will always forever say he was the reason they failed.
Okay.
And you know, Kyle owned it to his credit. He's like, I put Trey in a bad position.
They made the wrong pick.
He owned it, but people still want to be mad at him.
Joe, they made the wrong pick.
And they don't like that he got let off the hook. Because of Purdy, quote unquote.
No doubt.
They don't like that.
But I watch around the league and I think about this, and Jimmy Butler kind of spoke about this. He's like, when you come to the Warriors, they have like a player day, meaning you get whatever you want out of that day. If you think you need a hot tub, go do a hot tub. You want to go lift, go
Can
do
I get
your
a
lift.
Hot tub.
You need to go hang out with your family and you've got two or three kids, go hang out with them. But I trust you to be responsible for your own career and to be able to figure out what you need. Now look, some guys do need a plan in place. We've all have a friend that's like, hey, dude, if you don't have every minute accounted for in your day, you're going to get yourself into some trouble.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I do think that we take a lot of the onus off the responsibility of these players having a full culpability of their own careers. Yes, the coach is a steward of playing time, and he can put you in positions to succeed, but you can also put yourself in positions to not succeed. Yeah. Think Jordan Bell. Do you not think the Warriors... No, I'm asking sincerely. Do you not think that the Warriors wanted Jordan Bell to work?
Yes.
Do you think Jordan Bell maximized his responsibility as a player?
No.
From what little we know about Jordan Bell, and I'm rooting for him, and I thought he could be a player.
A little bit of a knucklehead at times. A little bit.
Patrick McCaw.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I could go down the list of players who probably shortchanged themselves and had nothing to do with the coach.
Yeah. Eric Paschal. There you go. Going to evolve his game. Kevin is back at Lake Merritt. We'll see if he's back on shore or not.
Hey, Kev.
What's up, Kev? What you got? We're giving you one more opportunity. You want to talk Steve Kerr? This guy just get him out of here. This guy is useless. What are we doing? Is he celebrating St. Patty's Day too early out there at Lake Chalet?
I know, he was fine on the phone, and then he gets on air, and suddenly he's underwater.
Lake Chalet is where he's at.
You need to take responsibility of your own call.
You take that's good. By the way, Moses Moody scored in double figures in 23 of his last 27. If that's him calling in, I swear to God, tell him to kick rocks. The Warriors improved 18-1 when he appears in the starting lineup. Moses Moody, baby. It angers me, Joe Shasky. It pisses me off. Because I've been where Steven is on the board. I was like, I'm not putting this guy. I refuse. Yeah.
You know, and like we get these texts, 405. Well, then how do you explain Kerr not playing Tatum in the Olympics? Earth to Jason Tatum. You're not better than Kevin Durant.
Is he trying to say that was a bad move from Kerr? Great. We won the gold. It was the right move. Steph and LeBron worked. Those guys were amazing. What are we doing?
What are we doing? What are we doing? Also, I forgot how good Embiid was in a couple of those games. As much as he drove me nuts, and I thought Anthony Davis should have played over him. Like, you can't play everyone.
No.
You just can't.
You can't. Like, especially in that one, talking about egos being fragile.
Oh, Jason Tatum.
Just stop.
Know who you are.
Is he like,
you're not him.
Is he trying to like talk about him being the face of the league still? Just stop talking about it.
It's just the fans determine who the face of the league is, and your personality is just kind of meh.
You know what? Talking about future faces of the league, Joe Shasky.
Yeah?
There's one that I think is going to be the future face of the league.
It's Bryce Eldridge?
But it's on the ice.
Oh, it's on the ice.
It's 60 seconds of Celebrini.
It's time for 60 seconds of Celebrini.
Celebrini exchanges. Shoot, star!
Where we recap all the great things Sharks phenom Macklin Celebrini did last night.
Wouldn't you know it, the number one overall draft pick, Macklin Celebrini.
Your 60 seconds of Celebrini starts now.
Let's go, Sam.
Let's go, yeah. So one of the better wins for the Sharks this year was that 2-1 overtime win over the Caps back in December. Without Alexander Ovechkin, Ovi was back on the ice for the Caps on Saturday night, and yeah, Sharks are not able to beat Ovechkin. They lost 5-1. That one goal, though, coming from our guy, Macklin Celebrini. Here's how it sounded.
Skated what would have been a breakaway.
Here we go.
Now Celebrini! Macklin Celebrini! And it's 3-1!
That's Randy Hahn on the call there for NBC Sports California as Macklin shoehorns his 21st goal of the year in there, crossing the 50-point threshold to be tops on the Sharks. Second among rookies behind Lane Hutson. His 21 goals are, of course, still tops among rookies. Consistency has just been Macklin's game this month. 8 games, 8 points. That's why we need to get this kid the Calder Trophy at the end of the year. The Sharks have started the hashtag already. They're calling it the Calder Brini for Macklin to win Rookie of the Year. For those who do not know, the Calder Trophy is what the trophy is given to the top rookie in the NHL.
Why can't
That's
they just
the name,
call
so.
It Rookie of the Year? They have all these names, and I think hockey would actually do it better if they would just like not do that. If they're trying to get like grow the game, just and I get
Israel, yeah, the Hart Memorial,
you're
the Zena.
You're celebrating the names of the game that no one knows about. Like, I'm sorry, I don't know who
for
any
the casuals,
of these people are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of like, you know, celebrating the game.
He's -190, by the way, to win it, courtesy of DraftKings Sportsbook. So he's
Lane Hutson of the Canadiens is the other guy. He's
and then also
with.
Matvei Michkov and Dustin Wolf.
Dustin Wolf could walk in here and tell me he's Dustin Wolf, and I wouldn't know what sport he played. Speaking of faces of leagues,
yeah.
Is Jokic the face of the league?
No.
Okay. Let me give you what he's averaging. 30, 13, and 9.9. They've won the last 8 against the Warriors.
Yeah. Let's dive into it.
Is he going to play tonight?
I want him to play tonight.
Me too.
Like, I don't like it. Like, well, I get it. There's two of it. Like, if he doesn't play, well, it increases your chances of winning. But if we're going to see this team in the playoffs, like, I want to see what it looks like right now. And by the way, I do think Jokic should win the MVP. But, you know, we've
is
had.
Is he going to be like the Barry Bonds?
He should win
Roger
it.
Roger Clemens going to win 7 of these?
Well, no, he should win it. Shea's the favorite.
Well, he should have won it last year.
But again, he did win it last year. The year before.
Here's the
year he won it last year, the year prior.
The separator for me, for Shea, why I think Shea should get it, is A, he plays better defense, and B, look at the standings. His team is significantly better than Denver, so I'm going to give it to Shea this year.
Denver would be a lottery team without Nikola Jokic, and they're like the 3 seed right now. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Like that's where I give it there. But to your point,
Chet did miss multiple months.
He did. No, in fairness, but Jalen, like, the depth of the Thunder is just, it cannot be questioned right now. They are so freaking good. So is Jim Barnett. He's so freaking good. He's going to be joining us next. Courtesy of Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Spring into action at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Your 15-minute drive-through oil change minute. Stay in your car while friendly technicians check oil, batteries, lights, tires, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. All vehicle types, welcome.
What's up, Roasters? It's Sam from Laughing Monk Brewing, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with my guys, Spadoni and Shasky. Spadoni, you better hit those brakes, buddy.
That's all I do, Sam Gadiri. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, baby. Let's go. Love me some Laughing Monk again. Sunnyvale, San Francisco, multiple spots.
Like,
we got the Gastro Pub.
Like,
hey, I hear pub. I hear St. Paddy's Day. Yeah, put two and two together. There you go, Joe Shasky's. You're decked out in your Irish gear. We're all Irish today, right? Is that how it works? I'm not really Irish. If I do my, I have my ancestry.com. There's 0.0% I'm Irish, but you know what? today, I feel a little Irish.
When you drive by St. Cecilia's many moons ago, they would have this, like, you know, right in front of the church, it'll have, you know, kind of the bulletins and stuff. And it'll say, like, Giants are mentioned 25 times in the Bible. The Dodgers mentioned zero. Like, they'll do certain things like that.
That's
you know?
Good. That's fun. Yeah,
it
yeah,
is
yeah,
good,
yeah.
Right? I wish I was at St. Cecilia's Church is one of the things that they would put out.
Oh, that's nice. That's good. That's clever. There you go. You know who else is clever? One Jim Barnett, who joins us now, courtesy of the River Islands guest line, as all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, Lathrop? By the way, tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity Stream Sports for the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. We're bringing on Jim Barnett, Warriors legend, icon, player, broadcaster. The guy does it all at such an extremely high level. And Jim, we're going to bring you in this conversation right now. It's Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky. Steve Kerr. Becoming the winningest head coach in Warriors franchise history. I say that to you. You say what?
Well, he just took Al Attles, who was my coach, and just passed Al Attles. And so it's quite a little step for him to do that. And, you know, I played for Al all those years when I was a Warrior. And Steve Kerr, I don't think there's a better coach in the league. I don't think there's a better mentor in the league. He just knows how to handle individuals. He's like a psychologist out there, and he understands the game. He's very, very bright, and so I think they're in great hands with him at all times.
Jim, you've been doing this a long time. You've seen a lot of different coaches. Why do you think Steve gets so devalued, both locally and nationally?
Well, you know more than I do. I didn't know he was that devalued, to tell you the truth.
Well, it just feels like people want to, you know, he's only done it with a loaded roster. And I guess maybe the NBA coach in general, outside of Phil Jackson, doesn't get the credit that maybe a football coach does or a baseball coach. And my counter to that would be like, well, there's way more little decisions in a basketball game than people give credit for. And the egos and the personalities and the balancing act is much more delicate than people give it credit for.
Absolutely. And, you know, like he's bringing in, you know, who's been really rising to me in my estimation, the guy that doesn't make mistakes. He's not flashy. Moses Moody. He's playing excellent basketball. He's finally learning how to play. He doesn't try to do too much. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's solid. He's scoring more as of late. And Trace Jackson Davis. He knows how to utilize someone coming in, you know, from the G League and bringing him into this a big man, because, you know, up until now, Draymond Green's your big man, and you can't live with that constantly when you're playing guys like Jokic and what have you. And so he develops younger players, and he sees the game. And he also, I think he's a great psychologist. I really think Steve Kerr could be a star in any area, and I think he could be certainly a personal psychologist for people when they come to him with their problems. He solves problems.
I might actually have to reach out to him, Jim. I have some problems too that I need solved. Jim Barnett joining us here on the River Islands guest line. Yeah, take a seat on my couch, Jim. Obviously. The Jimmy Butler acquisition. I mean, this guy has come in. Obviously, all the stuff that happened in Miami was standing, because there was a lot there. But he comes here, and when he suits up for the Golden State Warriors, they are 14-1 now. What's been the biggest reason they're 14-1 with Jimmy prior to him being here? What has he brought to this team?
Well, I tell you, he's an audacious basketball player. He believes in himself. He loves to have the ball in his hands. First of all, it's taken a lot of pressure off of Stephen Curry. So Stephen Curry, before Jimmy Butler, would have to take a lot of dribbles and pass the ball, cut, get the ball back. He'd have to work so hard. And now,
where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show Early Wedge on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He can just kind of float around because Jimmy Butler is able to penetrate. He's not a great shooter from the outside, but he can score, and he can score inside, and he's not afraid of anything. He's got such confidence. So when the ball's in his hands, he goes inside like that. He draws defenders, and he gives Steve Kerr, with Stephen Curry, a chance for him to float around a little bit. And so he's not having to create his shot. He can catch and shoot. Catch, and maybe the guy runs at him, one dribble to the side, and he doesn't have to work as hard to score. And Stefan, as you know, is just deadly from three-point range. He just made over his 4,000th three-point shot recently here. So Jimmy Butler is a big, big part of what's going on with the Warriors right now, and the reason they won, 12 of their last 13 games or 15 out of the last 16, whatever it may be.
Jim, the other byproduct is I'm seeing Draymond Green be so much more assertive offensively. He's ripping down three-pointers from all over the place, and then he's taking that dribble, squaring up to the hoop, taking the dribble, and taking that little mid-range floater. Like, I think on both ends of the floor, you can make a case this last month might be his best month on both ends since 2016, Draymond Green. That's how good I think he's playing.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, of course, Draymond always believes in himself, and that's one reason while, I think over the last 12 games they've had six road wins and six home wins. So they're winning on the road as well. Draymond, he has no fears, and sometimes that can work against you if you think you can do too much. But he plays within himself now, and as I say, to me the whole difference now is having Jimmy Butler, who has changed the whole tenor of their attack, and so it's a nice thing. It's taken pressure off of Draymond Green. It's taken pressure off Stephen Curry, and they're really rolling right now. They're just absolutely, and you can just feel the confidence that they have.
Are you as surprised with the whole Jimmy thing? We knew he was a good player, right? Like, everyone knew he was a good player. But for them to be able to mesh so quickly, everything was just so toxic in Miami. And it's Pat Riley and it's Spoelstra. It's an organization we have a lot of respect for from afar. There were a lot of red flags on this. This is really surprising, I guess, is where I'm going. Are you as surprised as I am?
Well, I knew that Jimmy Butler would bring some energy to the team. But I'm surprised that, he will also give the ball up. Now, he loves the ball in his hands, no question about it. He loves to create the offense. He believes in himself. As I said before, he'll take some chances in there. And he's not a knockdown clear out three-point shooter. But he likes the ball in his hands, and he can get inside. He's not afraid to go against bigger people. He's not afraid to challenge. And he can be a little reckless at times. But with this club, you know, he's got other people around him. He knows he can shoot the basketball. And so I just think he's a great addition. And they're a different team now without him. They're with him in there. He just makes everybody better. As I say, Moses Moody, Trace Jackson Davis is playing now a little bit more with more confidence. And I like him in there because he's big. He's got better size than Draymond Green. So defensively, I think they're a much better team now with him in their lineup.
Absolutely. And a guy that's also been in the lineup a lot is, you know, Quentin Post, this big man, the Flying Dutchman, we're calling him, JB. Like, coming out of nowhere here, really, the last couple of months, more so out of necessity because he just didn't have the bodies with all the injuries happening. But he's quickly become a mainstay here in the rotation, coming off the bench, getting some spot starts. Tell me about the big man, what you've seen from one Quentin Post, who he's got one of the sweetest strokes outside of Steph Curry on this on the team from beyond the arc.
Yeah, he's not afraid. He's got a lot of confidence, and when he comes in there, it's just the whole team. I think Steve Kerr creates the kind of atmosphere which empowers the players as individuals, but yet as a team. They really play together as a team, and they really don't think about, okay, Stephen Curry is the guy, we got to rely on him. He's got to score, do all the scoring. In fact, the last couple of games, you know, he had what, some big game where he had 54 or 56, whatever it was, a while back. But everybody shares the ball, and so they empower everybody out there, and everybody's encouraging. It's a real team, and that starts with Steve Kerr and just emanates throughout the roster. And, you know, that's why Quentin Post can come in, not be afraid, because he's got a coach that has confidence behind him.
What'd you think of Jonathan Kuminga's assimilation the last couple of games? I mean, he missed 2 months, and the team is rolling. I mean, we need his athleticism dramatically. We need his pressure on the rim, but you don't want to mess things up. And he kind of talked about it like, I don't want to mess up the chemistry.
Yeah.
And I thought he's been really good the last couple of games. What have you seen from Jonathan Kuminga?
I think I've seen maturity and understanding that it's just not athleticism, that you've got to play good fundamental basketball defensively, rebounding. You've got to remember to block your man off the boards, which he does. And you can't just run wild out there. He's that type of player. If you put him on another team where they weren't as disciplined, you know, you're going to see he's the type of guy that would give you 30 points one night, and he might give you 6 the next night and go 3 for 18. So I think, you know, with Steve Kerr, everybody's more disciplined, and Jimmy Butler probably is, to me, he looks like sometimes he doesn't play with discipline, but he knows what he's doing. And so I think just they've got a really good team. And Steve Kerr knows how to bring the best out of everybody, and even if it's a guy that's coming off the bench and the ninth player. And so I just have a lot of confidence in this club right now. The way they're running and over the last couple of weeks is really, really fun to watch them.
Another good team and great team that they're going to be playing tonight is the Denver Nuggets, Jim. I mean, obviously we know about Nikola Jokic. The guy's just unbelievable. He could win another MVP this year. It's him and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's that incredible. They have a championship pedigree with their head coach, Michael Malone, obviously. They won a couple years ago. Big matchup tonight. And is it, listen, nothing's, it's not a must win, obviously, but for the standings, it's big. But also, how big is this matchup just to get a feel for this team? Because you could potentially be seeing, if the season ended today, Jim Barnett, they'd be facing the Denver Nuggets in round one. So how important is this matchup tonight to maybe get a potential feel for this squad in a potential first-round series?
Yeah, I think not only tonight, but this whole week when it's they're playing Denver, then Toronto and Milwaukee. This is going to be a big test this week for them. And they've been playing well. I'm hoping that they can continue that. And it is a test. But I think with the coaching of Steve Kerr, the wizardry of Stephen Curry, and the maturity of this club, that they have. I think this is going to be a big week, not only tonight, it starts with Denver, but then Toronto and Milwaukee before they go on the road to Atlanta, Miami, and New Orleans or what have you. In fact, I think they've got six straight road games after this week, after the game on Thursday night against Milwaukee.
Jim, yeah. There's always these lovable guys on the end of the bench. You know, GP2 is kind of one of those lovable guys, and he'll get thrusted into bigger roles depending on the matchups or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm watching this kid, Gui Santos, and he's got a little Brian Cardinal in him, right? He's got a little Matt Barnes in him, a little JTA. Yeah. He's just got a knack for energy and making plays and just doing all these little things. And he's not a guy that's going to fill up the box score, but when I watch him play, I'm like, I just love watching him. Do you like Gui the way I like Gui Santos?
Yes, I do. I like everybody right now, and I think it goes back to how Stephen Curry plays and how he empowers people around him, and then back to the head coach Steve Kerr. It's the atmosphere that they have on that club is really, really good. I don't think there's any team that's better in the league at matching this, and the confidence that they empower everybody out there. And it starts, but you know, on the floor, it starts with Stephen Curry and the way he is, the way he handles things. And he makes everybody better. They make him better. And it's right now, they're just on a really, really roll. We'll see after this three game stand now with Denver, Toronto, Milwaukee, how they go on the road and how handle people like Atlanta and Miami and New Orleans, San Antonio, and Memphis, and of course, then the Lakers. So that we'll know a lot more in about 3 weeks from now. We'll see if they can weather the storm here, and their 39-28 record will improve, or will it, you know, get more towards 500. I've got a lot of confidence in them right now, and I think Jimmy Butler is going to keep this down. I think he's a great leader because he has so much confidence in himself, and of course, Stephen Curry and all the confidence. They got a pretty good team right now.
No, it's a great point, Jim, and thank you so much for your time today. That's the word that I feel symbolized with this team right now, confidence. You can just see it from top to bottom when it comes to ownership, because the GM, head coach, it's a trickle-down effect. There is so much confidence with this team right now in a big test today against the Denver Nuggets team that you have struggled mightily against if you're the Golden State Warriors in the regular season. Hey, Jim, we really appreciate the time this morning. Let's do it again in the future, man.
I appreciate you having me on. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
We all miss you. Thanks, JB.
Jim Barnett, who joins us on the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests in 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? God, this voice, man, just certain voices in the Bay Area when it comes to broadcasting. It brings a smile on your face.
Absolutely.
Jim Barnett is one of them. He's just synonymous with Warriors basketball. He just is. And again, Bob Fitzgerald, Kalani, do a hell of a job, but you always still think, you know, Jim Barnett, and you know, obviously right here on 95.7 The Game, for the long time we heard Jim Barnett alongside Tim Roy on the radio side.
Do you hear every answer had something to do with Steve Kerr?
I love that he called him a psychologist, too.
I mean, it almost tied into the whole theme of the show that we've had today. It was incredible.
Well,
we didn't do that by accident.
Well, he's a P1. Yeah.
I mean,
JB's been,
it just was coincidence.
He listens.
I love it.
How could you not love this team right now? And I love the little parting. In 3 weeks, we'll know who this team is. I was like, in 3 weeks, it's been like a month and a half, Jim. We don't know. That brings me to this. Do we not know who this team is? Like, is there still question marks with this team to find out who they really are? Is this 14-1 with Jimmy Butler like somewhat fugazi to some people? It's not totally, but we've had Anthony Slater on, who does know this team inside and out. Our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider. He does think it's a little, he says the word misleading, which not saying it's totally smoke and mirrors, but there's some aspects of a lot of this where they haven't been like really tested by great teams.
But a month ago, like, you were buried in the standings and you look up and it's like, so even if you just step back from the Warriors.
I think that's a championship lens we're viewing it to when you see misleading, because that's a little.
Yeah, no one's saying they should be the championship favorites.
No.
I just think that championship's not off the table, which is a totally different way of saying it.
Which is crazy, because 2 months ago it was absolutely off the table.
Yeah, but the West is free-falling.
No, I'm saying 2 months ago for the Warriors, it was off the table.
Both things are true.
Yes.
The Warriors are on fire.
Yep.
The West is in shambles.
Well, the West is also...
Besides the Timberwolves.
Well, the West is also not in shambles, because you look at... everyone's muddled up there.
No, I mean like the way we viewed it. Like I viewed, Memphis a certain way a couple months ago, and
sure,
Houston,
sure,
and they're all over the place.
Okay, no, for sure. But Houston, all of a sudden, they've won six in a row. Like it's this ebb and flow when it comes to who do you trust, who do you not trust. Oh, I trust the Lakers again because they've been winning more. Oh, I don't trust the Nuggets because they've been losing some bad teams. The Minnesota Timberwolves, they were in the Western Conference Finals last year, guys. Yeah, I trust them again. So there's a lot baked into
it. And you might say, Joe, this is every year. There's about six teams I trust. Cleveland?
Really? You trust Cleveland?
Boston. I think they deserve it. You know, Cleveland deserves it. Cleveland,
big loss yesterday coming off 16 straight wins. I don't know how they'll recover.
Okay, well, Cleveland, Boston.
I'm kidding.
LA Lakers, OKC, four. Warriors, Denver. That's the way I think it shakes down.
It's going to be one of those teams that wins it all.
You'd
be confident.
I have a very good feel that, yeah, one of the teams is going to come out of that six.
Okay.
And look, I could be reading the whole thing wrong because I'm biased and I'm hypersensitive on the Warriors. Maybe Denver gets booted. Maybe the Warriors get booted out of that tough six. Maybe it's the Lakers.
Yeah.
But while LeBron's out, I'm watching Luka, and it looks like he sure looks like he's assimilating.
I mean, blessing in disguise. Can you say that? Because you lose LeBron. Shockingly, when I've watched that team, because they were on primetime on Friday against the Denver Nuggets, because the Nuggets just did not look good at all. And Bronny, my timeline's blown up because Bronny James made a play. LeBron is actually local. Where was he? He was watching the state.
Bronny hit a shot late in that game.
He did. People are going nuts.
I love how everyone's like, he was a minus four.
I was like, see, he made a shot. LeBron was at the at Golden 1 Center because they had all the state championships.
Did you see the video?
No, what happened?
So quickly, state championships were going on up at Golden 1 Center, up in Sacramento. Archbishop Reardon lost to a team from Southern California that they had one player go for 44.
It wasn't Bryce's team, though.
No.
It wasn't Sierra Canyon.
No, okay. Sierra Canyon played a team from Stockton.
Okay.
And Sierra Canyon won.
Okay.
And then in the women's bracket, Mitty also lost to the team I believe they played last year, Etowanda. Etowandia. I don't even know how to pronounce that.
It was something like that. Etowan.
I apologize.
Etowan? Is that the grocery store in
both
LA?
Both of the local teams lost. While there for the game Friday night, there was a kid hanging over LeBron James who was in the front row with his daughter and his wife, I'm assuming here.
Uh-huh.
And the kid's just railing LeBron. And I'm like, come on, everybody. He's here to watch his kid. Now, I know it's LeBron and everyone wants to pick him apart and everything, but I'm kind of like, can you just let him just watch his kid?
Like, what are we, like, just,
that's the thing.
They're people. Like, that's not like
let him watch his son.
And why does a Kings fan hate LeBron James so much? Like, what? He made his debut there, by the way, in Sacramento. People forget.
Back in the day, in the 90s, we were out at the Polo Fields, which is here in the city.
Say Polo Grounds. Wow,
yeah.
Going back to
the
New York
fields.
City.
We used to play a lot of soccer games out
big
there.
Big throwback.
And Robin Williams was at the height of being Robin Williams.
R.I.P.
You got to remember, he was the voice of Aladdin.
Trust me.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
He was at the height of his height.
Oh, gotta go Jumanji, brother. Come on, let's go.
And his son played in a soccer league that we were all in. And I remember so many people would run up on him. And for the kids, he would always be like, hey, I'll give the kids all the time in the world.
Yeah,
but for the adults, it was like, hey, I'm here to watch my son play soccer.
Yeah.
Can I just watch him play soccer? And I always felt bad for him.
Well, they're like circus acts, it becomes. Whether it's a Steph. Yes.
You're like performing for everyone.
That's what it is, right? Like him, the Jim Carreys, I think, of the world. The Chris Farleys, rest in peace.
And if you have one negative interaction, what do people think? That guy's a jerk.
That guy's a jerk. That's what you're going to say for the rest of your life. And unfortunately, that's what happens sometimes.
And Robin Williams was huge.
Yes.
But not LeBron.
No, it's just...
I mean, LeBron at a basketball game on the floor watching his son. Like, so everyone, back off him a little.
Back off. And again, this is going to be what Stephen Curry's going to be doing when he's older, if one of his daughters are playing, or Cannon. Maybe he goes, and maybe he wants to play basketball. Whatever. Like, again, I'm not going to bestow that on him. We'll see. Exactly. Like, can we just give the guys some space? But again, easy for us to say Joe Shasky because we're around all these like athletes and celebrities. I mean, give me the drop. Like we're just so big time, so we're around all these guys all the time. And we're blessed to interview some of these players.
Sure.
So maybe it's not lost on us because it's not on me when we get to talk to Jerry Rice of all people all the time on Zoom. We get to see him, but people get starstruck and they don't know how to act. And it's just like, Just take a deep breath. They're people.
Well,
they're people. It's
I think
okay.
The majority.
But that's why I never viewed people as like godlike, like athletes as godlike figures.
I would say 95%, maybe more, of people act normal though. It's always the loony
knuckleheads.
Couple percent. So like for example, I was at a gym. At Carter came to our game. We were playing the playoffs, and Mike Dunleavy was there.
Sure.
And you know, when you're a basketball player, you are way bigger than everyone else.
I was gonna say certain basketball players. Yeah, exactly.
Except Carter, who's the same height as Mike Dunleavy.
But Mike Dunleavy is like 6'10". Like he's huge. Yeah.
Humongous. And he's in sweatpants with a hat on, and not that he's trying to hide, but he's leaning so that he doesn't look as tall when everyone, and nobody bothered him. People just let him kind
of some
do
play
his
for
thing.
One of the teams or something?
Yeah, he was playing in the game before us. And you know, like Carter and I were joking around, should I go tell him a great trade on the Jimmy Butler thing? Like, a little love, point up at him, you know.
Mike, you just do,
ask
you just,
him to come on the show.
You just do like a chest bump piece. Like, what's up? Hey, Mike, good trade, bro. One of those. I did that to in Disneyland a couple years ago. We were taking young Benjamin and Nora. We were all there, and Michael Bublé was he was walking out at the same time as us.
Who's Michael Bublé?
The artist. You've never heard him sing the Christmas album, Michael Bublé. Ask Michelle who Michael Bublé is. She'll know. Great singer. Canadian icon, Michael Bublé. You guys know who Michael Bublé is, right? Yes?
No.
Okay, so...
Well, it makes sense that Rizzotto would know.
You threw it at me, and I was like, no, he's 49 years old.
Oh, no, he's had songs. I mean...
He sold 75 million.
He's made a lot of money.
What? I do get him and Michael Bolton mixed up.
He's not Michael Bolton.
Can you give me a specific...
I just haven't met you yet. That song. Da-da, I just haven't met you yet.
I know that song. He sang that?
Yeah, there you go. So thank you. Thank you for helping me out. He probably doesn't. He's just trying to
throw
me a bone.
I thought
you
said Michael Bloomberg. I was like,
no,
why is he at Disneyland?
Anyways, clearly this guy isn't famous enough.
It's a hole in my game. I apologize.
He was walking away outside of Disneyland with his kids. Mind you, I just shouted out, hey, Mike. I gave him a mic. I didn't give him a Michael. Big fan. He turned around, gave me a love. Gave me a love sign. Just like, hey, love you, bro. He pointed at me.
Oh.
Basically, we're best friends is what I'm saying. That's the way you do it.
You now.
Yeah, I met him. There you go.
I play a song. I don't know.
Sure, we'll pull it up there. I just derailed the entire show.
No,
I feel
like a jerk.
I apologize to everyone that Michael Bublé, I guess, wasn't big time enough to, you know, name drop. So there you go. It's fine. No, it's cool. It's fine.
Is he on your playlist?
No. Well, during Christmas time, he is. He has a lot of, you've probably heard him a lot more during Christmas because he has like a lot of Christmas albums.
Oh.
So you probably heard him there. That's a lot of his records are sold there.
All right.
He's Canadian.
I only recognize two particular Christmas artists.
Who?
First, Nat King Cole.
Okay.
Second, Mariah Carey.
Wow. Frank Sinatra, just disrespect right here. It's just palpable.
I'm taking Nat King Cole over, Frank, for the Christmas category alone.
Andy Williams is another one.
Alone. You guys don't know about Nat King.
No,
what are we doing?
No, I do.
Everyone has heard the Christmas song.
Song.
Yes, the chestnuts are roasting on the open fire.
Yes.
We're all familiar.
And I love Frank. Don't get me wrong. I love Frank.
Clearly you don't.
I'm taking Nat King.
Okay, sure. All right, it's fine.
I like Bobby Helms.
Begrudge the Italian on St. Patty's Day.
Jingle Bell Rock.
Like to do. Jingle Bell Rock. There you go. It is St. Patrick's Day. Well, we want to do a little St. Patrick's Day fun here. Do we want to do that? Do we have any... I didn't ask for a bed. We don't need a bed. Michael Bublé.
He's trying to find you a Michael Bublé song.
Find the most famous one you find. Play it for him. But we could talk a little luckiest athletes if we're doing a little luckiest players ever.
So if I say luckiest athlete of all time,
it's funny that you say this because literally you're having this conversation. It's literally Steve Kerr. I mean, like,
as an athlete.
As everything. Not only did he play for the greatest team ever... He played for the Chicago Bulls.
And Arizona.
In Arizona. Did they win a title with
him? No, but they were...
They were very good.
Yes.
He gets to play with the greatest player of all time, Michael Jordan. Gets in a fight with the guy, so that's a cool story to get to tell the kids. You know,
hit big time shots.
You know, Nick, I almost got in a little tussle with Michael Jordan in practice. Like, he gets to do that. So he gets that. Gets to play for... One of the other greatest teams of all time, the San Antonio Spurs, one of the greatest coaches. Oh, yeah, by the way, played for Phil Jackson, played for Greg Popovich, was one of the grizzled vets on the team, wins titles there, gets to do that. Has a little dabbling of GM work, and he's not very good, but he's a solid broadcaster, does that, very good. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and coach now one of the greatest players of all time, didn't know it at the time, but Stephen Curry, I get to coach, one of the greatest two-way players of his time and a future Hall of Famer, and Klay Thompson, one of the greatest shooters of all time. Maybe the greatest defensive player I get to coach of all time, Draymond Green. Oh, and by the way, they become, and we get Kevin Durant, one of the greatest scorers of all time, one of the top 10 players, fringe top 10 guys. So not only did I play for the greatest team ever, I might have coached the other greatest team of all time. In the Golden State. Like, he'll be the first to tell you I'm the luckiest guy in the world. Like, that's like,
is
that's,
his luck overriding Robert Horry's luck?
I mean,
because like when I think of like winner guy, Robert Horry is like at top of the list.
It's true, and him and Rob. Well, I'll say this, but both of them, they had iconic shots in the playoffs. I mean, iconic.
Robert Horry was so sick. Those early Rockets teams.
3-for-3, yes,
dude, so good. How about Derek Fisher?
Yeah, that's a good. Fish was really. He was a starter though. Like he was a legit starter on some of those title teams.
I loathe Derek Fisher.
Oh, well, he's a Warriors legend.
Why? Don't even stop it.
What?
Stop it. Just stop it.
He was a good Warrior, right?
That shot at him on the exercise bike will never leave
my mind. How about Pat McCall winning 3 in a row? Is he lucky?
That's a good one.
That's actually pretty high up there.
That's a good one. Luke Walton. He's another. No, that's Luke Walton won it. He was as a player with the Lakers.
If his name was Luke Smith and not right. Luke Walton, would he even be in the league?
I've been to Berkeley. Luke is a great player.
He was good at Arizona, though.
Did he win a title? Was he teammates with Iguodala? I think he was.
I don't know.
I think he might have been teammates with Iggy over there. Maybe not. Maybe that was after his time. Iggy was, they're both old. No, Luke was good, though, because he was interim coach. Dude, they won like 25 or 26 in a row. Now, it didn't end up being good after the interim when he became the Lakers and the Knicks or the Kings head coach. Was not a good time there.
What about Lonnie Smith? 3 championships, 3 different teams in baseball.
It's not bad.
You guys probably way before.
And you throw Jock Peterson on that list too. Was he on the Braves and the?
When I think
Dodgers
of Jock, I don't think of lucky.
Hey, Will Smith, that was one right for a while. Wasn't he?
He's lucky. It was only a slap from Tommy Pham.
Only a slap. That song.
What
slaps.
About Andrew Friedman?
What do you mean?
I think of skill.
Wait, what? Lucked out?
Wasn't how did Friedman
he's the
luck
architect
out?
Well, he's
of everything.
Got owners that are willing to do anything.
Oh, but he
also made some bold trades and acquisitions.
Oh, I'll throw on a list. How about Russell Wilson? I thought early in his career he had one of the best defenses ever cleaning up his mistakes. Two NFC title games against the Niners, which basically swung on a fumble play that couldn't be reviewed. You know, shout out Navarro Bowman. And then the next year against the Packers, he had one of the worst games ever. 3 picks. Ends up getting off with one of the luckiest Hail Mary throw-ups ever, where he chucks the ball up. I think his left tackle or something caught it. And that helps set up overtime. Then, of course, what's his name? You know, botches the onside kick in overtime to set up the Seahawks win there. It was just
Mason Crosby.
All the success that the Seahawks had early on was because of that defense, and Russ got to ride that defense to 2 Super Bowls, one that he won.
That's actually really good. That's strong.
888-957-957. You can call or text the number, by the way. 888-957-9570. Some of the luckiest.
I did think
you could say luckiest figures, just fake, because you can do coaches or because some people say Seifert's lucky to be coaching this team, or Phil Jackson lucked out. But I was like, well, if you watch The Last Dance, I don't think anyone's that luck.
How about Hunter Pence, like the luckiness?
The three hits?
The bat splintering into 1,000 pieces and hitting the ball 3 times. The catch against the fence.
Yeah.
The dive with, I mean, he's made some, I mean, he was not luck, but I don't know, man. I think of lucky plays.
Well,
I think about the home run that didn't go over the fence against Detroit.
I mean, David Tyree, right? Luckiest play.
That's a good call.
I mean,
one of the luckiest plays in history.
And people don't talk about it. Like a play or two before, Eli should have thrown an egregious interception that whoever was the cornerback at the time just dropped. I can't think of his name right now, but it was just one of the all-time, like, oh, no, that's... It's funny watching that play back, the David Tyree catch, because...
He would have been sacked.
He would have been... No,
9 times out of 10.
No, he would have been... If it was today, he would have been called dead.
Blown whistle.
Would have been, the whistle would have been blown. He would have been like... You can't do that today.
No.
It's just, and the fact that they beat him not once but twice, and Tom has to hear from Eli all the time.
Does Kyle Shanahan have a little bit of luck?
I was going to say Jimmy G.
Luck of the Irish.
Jimmy G gets straight into a dormant Niner team. He got a little sauce. Well, he looked good.
No, he hit the genetic lottery for it. Come on.
He might be the luckiest man alive in terms of how he looks.
Just look at him. Come on, man. It's Paisan. You got Schlepp Rock wants to join the conversation.
Hey, Schlepp.
This is a good one. This is anonymous. What do you got, Schlepp? Luckiest person of all time. Who?
Let's just go iconic. Let's go retro. Let's go just on general purpose. Yeah. GP. Lou Gehrig retirement speech.
Yeah.
Tearjerker. I'll talk to you guys later.
That's
Have a great
call.
That's a good way.
Today,
that was in and out.
I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
It's great. It's one of the all-time speeches.
Can you be lucky if you have a debilitating...
Well, no, but that's... It was the mindset of all
I hear you.
It was the mindset of it. Just like, it's the mindset of a Fast Five is what...
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
What if I say to you, my final thought is
what
this?
If I told you?
Franco Harris has one of the luckiest plays of all time.
Oh, my God. Well,
lucky because no one on the planet thinks he caught that ball in the air. Ball 100% was trapped. The refs wanted to get out of there. The Raiders got screwed. I'm not a Raider fan. I'm not pretending to be one. But this thing, that play shouldn't have been looked at more. And they always cut the highlight. Right? They have edited the bottom part of that highlight. No, they have.
They have.
I am convinced.
Rest in peace, Franco Harris. But he refused to even say if it hit the ground or not. Because he knew.
Because it did hit the ground.
He knew it. He knew it.
It 1,000% hit the ground. That is the worst call of all time.
That's a really good.
It's the immaculate.
Jim that's Joyce. A good pull there, Shafty.
Jim Joyce thinks that's the worst call of all
Jim
time.
Jim Joyce. I thought Jim Joyce
really
owned
had a
it.
Perfect game.
Jim Joyce owned it after that. I respect Jim Joyce because he had like tears. Like he felt genuinely bad. Like there's some guys that would double down, like the Walt Coleman's of the world,
yes.
Tuck rule, BS call. Miss me with that. Talk about Tom Brady getting lucky. Might be the start of his career, might be the luckiest ever.
The two luckiest plays just come to mind for me. Tiger's chip at the Masters where we zoomed in on the ball. It's a one in a gazillion
life.
Shot.
In your life, have you seen it?
I love that call. In your life. Because literally, in your life, like that will never happen.
And the Kawhi shot to knock out where the ball was hanging on the rim. It's you cannot tell me that wasn't luck. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's skill and all that stuff.
Right.
That ball was on the rim forever.
What about KD's foot being on the line against the Bucks?
That's unlucky.
That is unlucky.
Well, lucky for the Bucks. Unlucky
that's
for KD.
No, it's a great point. Well, you know why? Because the Bucks were wearing green that day.
Prince Fielder getting hosed at the plate?
Well, that was a skill.
I mean, well,
that was one of the best executed relays ever.
Play.
No, he's like 400 pounds. He should not have been going there.
That was textbook like, relay
his
right
son,
there, Shasky.
By the way.
Beast.
His son, Cecil's grandson, is
Fielder
going
family.
To be a star.
They're all just going to mash at every level. I love that. Cecil Field. Cecil or Cecil? I always forgot which one it was.
Okay. Sure.
Sure. There you go. Yeah, Sam, you're wearing green today.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about lucky plays.
Are you
talking about
by
that.
The way?
Yeah. Okay. On mom's side.
I don't like to assume. Not all redheads are Irish.
Yeah, they mostly are, though.
Not a lot of redheads in
Italy. But we were talking about the 2016 Giants earlier today, and we're talking about, you know, lucky plays and stuff like that, and that team had no luck. The team that did have luck, though, was the Cubs. Javier Baez, that basket home run in game one, aided by the wind. Probably the luckiest home run in Cubs history. Now, sure, maybe the Cubs had earned a lucky moment or two over the years, but was still a pretty lucky moment for them.
I'm out on the Cubs after what they did to Bartman. I'm Team Bartman.
Well, they brought Bartman back into the fold after that.
No, Bartman was like, yeah, screw you guys. You ruined my life. Death threats. Miss me with Cubs fans. I'm calling you out, Nick Friedel. He's in Tokyo, I think.
Well, fair enough. Still, Javi Baez, lucky home run.
That's a good one, though.
Scott Spezia, lucky home run.
All right, there you go.
Okay, I think we're going to things that aren't really lucky now. By the way, this is my Fast Five because I didn't have one until now. Cecil Fielder and Prince Fielder finished with the same amount of home runs.
That's pretty cool.
It's almost impossible.
Now, that is lucky.
That is... Chris Davis, what was it, 242?
No,
it was
247.
247, that's what
every
it was.
Year.
Like
Crush.
Forced, yeah, Crush
with
Davis.
The worst arm I've ever seen.
The Sean real Canadian
thinks your arm sucks.
Dude, he had a stretch there, though. Or just 50.
Joe.
50, I don't think he hit 50, actually, but he was close, but he was insane.
If I said throw off, Johnny Damon versus Crush Davis.
Two A's legends, by the way.
I mean, Denard like, Span.
Denard Span!
Who?
Denard Span.
Denard Span's a good one. They're all at the carnival trying to hit the glass bottle. None of them is hitting it.
I think I broke my headphones. I just like kicked it.
There's no snare in my headphones.
I don't hear anything now.
Chris Davis, he's a DH at least. So that was his.
Oh, he there played left a lot.
No, he did sometimes when they needed him to. Oh, this is the song. Michael Bublé. This isn't the instrumental. You have the lyrics, right? Why did you get the lyrics?
I don't know.
He's not going to know the instrumental.
I don't know.
You're killing me, Steven.
I don't know.
That was Fast Five. Brought to you by Xfinity at home or on the go. You'll get the fastest internet to all your devices. And you know what? We're going to have some Michael Bublé tomorrow because we're going to feel great after a Warriors win. I'm calling my shot right now.
Yay!
Warriors by 10+. Steiny Guru next. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. You're for good.